no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
We're with Fred Fuentes in Caracas. Fred, there's been a bit of shaking and moving, I understand, in the government with the establishment of the PSUV, or United Socialist Party of Venezuela.
Yeah, well, since January 12th, the proposed, well, it's provisionally named United Socialist Party of Venezuela, has been holding its founding congress. There's been some 1,671 delegates elected from the different local areas across Venezuela, who have been meeting every weekend to discuss essentially three key documents, which will be the Declaration of Principles, the program and the statutes of the new party, along with defining a number of other issues, for instance, how to select candidates for the upcoming elections in November, and also the election of a provisional leadership team for the next year until elections are held for the for the national leadership of the PSUV. But obviously this has seen quite an important discussion taking place in the Congress, where there's been a number of different debates and discussion. It's also come in the context of an opening, war of words that we've seen from some of the different aspects within the government over accusations of corruptions, of being involved with the endogenous right or the right wing within Chavismo, or the fake left, and the problems of anarchism and ultra-leftism in the movement. So I've seen all this really sort of hit the TV and the media here, and discussions amongst the popular movements over about the last 2 weeks as this Congress comes to an end. So Sunday will actually be the final day when all the documents will be voted on, and then the following weekend will be the elections for the national leadership, which will be held across the country, where the different spokespeople and heads of commission of the different socialist battalions, which are the grassroots units of the party, will be able to cast their vote. And there'll be about 100,000 people involved in that election process.
So it's like a form of internal party democracy we're seeing here, as well as the parliamentary democracy that we're more used to in other countries.
Yeah, well, I think what we've seen is that for the first time over the 9 years of this revolution, there's an attempt to build a real mass democratic revolutionary party that can act as the party of the revolution, that can act as the political instruments of the social movements. Previously, there was only the existence, on a large scale, there was the existence of the movement of this republic, but that never had elections, internal elections, and was always pretty much dominated by a different power block, but also didn't have local grassroots units where people could participate on a weekly or monthly basis within the party. It was more an electoral machine. But here what we've seen is that lots of different elements of the popular sectors of old leftist parties that existed previously, of the trade union movement, of the campesino movement, coming together to discuss and debate where are we going with this revolution? What is socialism in the 21st century? What sort of program do we need to place for the government? And so it's this is by far one of the most democratic parties that we've seen in all of Venezuelan history. Mm. But then, of course, anything on this sort of scale, where something like almost 6 million people enrolled to become members of the party, it's obviously going to have its problems, and we're seeing quite a few of those problems at the Congress, where some of the democratic function has been highly questioned by a lot of the delegates who have been criticising the fact that the support commission, which is essentially a designated commission of five people that is entrusted with sort of the organisation aspect of the conference, have been taking a lot of power into their own hands. And the decision-making process hasn't been as good as it should be functioning. Mm.
And are we likely to see, with these elections coming up, is there going to be much of a change in the candidates we're going to see, not so much the candidates, but the representatives? Are there going to be any new faces or old faces disappearing?
Yeah, well, I mean, in regards to the leadership, in regards to the leadership of the party and the elections for that, I mean, that's one issue that's been highly questioned by a number of the delegates, where essentially, as opposed to the idea that there was meant to be a lot of discussions within the grassroots units, and that proposals would emerge from the bottom up of names that would be part of this national direction. In the end, the process that was taken was one where essentially delegates, without really having been given any time to consult with the local grassroots units, were each to propose three names, of which would go into a box, which would be taken off, and supposedly out of which all those names, Chavez would write up a list of some, well, the list is now being presented of 69 names that will now go towards the election. But many people criticised that, one, because it was very unclear who got to be part of that final list. Was it totally on the say of Chavez? Obviously it wasn't. There was obviously other people involved in that discussion, in making suggestions as to who should be part of that list. There was also very big criticism of the fact that there wasn't the space to have a real discussion about what type of profile should someone who's part of that leadership have. What makes someone the kind of person that should be part of the leadership of such a party? All of that was sort of put aside for a very rushed process. And we're now out of those 69 names, some 15, each one of the heads of commissions and the spokespeople of battalions, those 100,000 odd people, will get to vote. We'll vote for 15 of those 69 names. The 15 most voted will go on to be part of the national direction. Another five will be selected by Chavez, and obviously Chavez, who's already been elected as the president of the party, will be the 21st member of that national leadership. And if we look at the list of 69 names, certainly we don't see a lot of new names in that. Part of that is obviously understandable. It's very hard to all of a sudden get rid of old names and old faces and just totally start with new faces. And some of those old faces, old names, deserve to be on that body, but certainly I think there's a sentiment that perhaps the process could have allowed for a different end result than what we'll probably see. And in regards to the elections themselves, in the sense of governors and mayors, well, that's still up for discussion. But as far as I understand, the Congress is meeting at the moment, but they haven't come up with a final resolution as to how they will select candidates. But obviously a large section of the party, and more importantly of Chavistas as a whole, are really pushing to see that candidates are selected from the grassroots in order to stand. Because there's a real feeling that many of the current mayors and governors just haven't been putting in the effort and the work, and a sentiment that people will not go and vote again for someone that's selected from above, that unless it's the community that gets to pick the kind of people that they want to see running their local council and their governorships, see a large... is not actually going to vote in these elections. But that's still something that's to be decided, and we'll see how the process unfolds, given the elections still are to be held at the end of November anyway.
And Fred, are you seeing any signs of, well, can you see that there might be any signs of strain on the, let's say, the governance of Venezuela? You know, is the government still running smoothly?
I think, if anything, the opposite. There's a lot of strain, and it's very clear that there's a lot of pressure occurring. On one hand, you have all the plan that imperialism is arming against Venezuela, whether it's through the attacks by ExxonMobil on PDVSA and the state oil company, where it's the continuous public attacks against Chavez by the U.S. administration, accusing him of terrorism, of narco trafficking, of whatever it is they feel like calling him on any given day. We also have the continued conflict or building tension with Colombia that probably will only be getting bigger. As today we've been given the news that Colombian military have bombed into Ecuador, where they are there killed Raul Reyes, who was the second in command of the FARC, of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. So basically, in crouching into another country's territory to kill a leader of the FARC, in the context of only a few days ago, another four FARC prisoners being released as part of the Chavez's push for a humanitarian agreement. So their tensions are building there. But all these things are happening externally, and internally we're seeing a growing tension within the movement itself, reflected in some of the actions that have been occurring. whether it's been some of the accusations labelled against different ministers and deputies for corruption, whether it's been the big discussion this week about the issue of anarchist or ultra-left groups who are, as Chavez has referred to them, and say that this is another plan of imperialism to intervene into the revolution and cause divisions via ultra-left actions, and citing, unfortunately, citing what I believe is an incorrect example of looking at the Allende government in Chile in the 70s and drawing the incorrect conclusion that the reason why Allende fell was essentially because of the actions of leftists and ultra-leftists in the Chilean process. So all that is creating a big tension now where different social movements are coming out and declaring their right to be able to stand up and make a protest and that actually what we need to be doing right now is attacking corruption and bureaucratism, which is holding back the revolution, and not attacking the social, you know, the some of the sections of the social movements. Obviously, Chavez is not referring to the entirety of the social movements as ultra-left or anarchist, but only a few of the specific ones that are involved with some protests in recent days, as well as having rightly condemned another activity that's been occurring over the last few days, which is the bombing of a number of small bombings of a placed at the front of a number of buildings, which are supposedly being carried out by leftist groups, although it's unclear exactly as to who is behind them. And Chavez is absolutely right to condemn them and distance himself as far as possible from those kind of actions, which do nothing but create instability and aid the right in the current situation.
Yeah, you did mention a minute there, a few minutes ago, the actions of Exxon. Now, I've just been talking to Lara about, we've had a week of action here in Australia. Has there been any response there in Venezuela to the Exxon?
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, there was a reasonable-sized demo here in Venezuela, actually in Caracas, convoked by the delegates from the PAIGC Congress. Which, you know, certainly a number of thousand, maybe close to 10,000 turned out for on a Thursday night. Exxon is still continuing to be a big issue in Venezuelan politics, but there are also protests happening all around the world. We received news that in England, only a few days ago, there was a protest outside Exxon Mobil office, and I know that there will also be protests occurring in the US on that day, but these are part of ongoing solidarity actions as well. Already, I mean, another important day, particularly now in the context of this brutal assassination of Raul Reyes from the FARC. Particularly important will now be the March 6th demonstration against, which has been convoked from Colombia. As a response to the earlier demonstrations that were basically an anti, you know, pretext of peace, but really a pro-war, anti-FARC demonstration. Well, on March 6th, there will be a protest to protest against the violence by the paramilitaries and the Colombian state. And that's a protest that even Noam Chomsky has come out and is supporting at an international level. That'll be another demonstration. And also, it received news a few days ago that the opposition are convoking sort of international demonstrations on April 11, you know, marking their unsuccessful attempt at a coup to overthrow the government. It sort of says, I think, enough in and of itself about this opposition that would go about to celebrate an attempted coup with international protests. But I think it'd be important for solidarity activists around the world to also make sure that on April 11th we're out in the streets actually defending the Venezuelan revolution. And showing how it is that people's power was actually able to overturn that attempted coup.
Okay, well, thanks, Fred. Just finally, we expect these elections that are coming up, but they're expected to go pretty smoothly, are they? They're not going to be controversial?
Anything could happen between now and November, hard to say. But I think Chavismo is in for a big campaign. They need a big campaign coming off the defeat on December 2.
Yep.
Also okay. In a context where the opposition are attempting to unite, have a united slate for these elections, and also in the context where you know brewing discontent within some sections of popular sectors. So, okay. You know, it means that people will have to be on their eye about this election campaign for sure.
Okay, and I'm sure you'll be there to keep us up to speed, Fred.
Definitely.
Okay, thanks very much, Fred, for talking to Latin Radical on Community Radio 2NIM FM.